Okay, and we're going to review it again. So Tlil Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph. We learned the Pasuk yesterday. We're going to review it again today. And we're going to spend some time going through a piece of Gemara, Masechta Avodah Zarah, on Daf Ches Amid Beis. Okay, good. I got the Gemara. Let's just read the Pasuk again. We went through the Mitzudas yesterday. Okay, the Pasuk here again says, V'omad Al-Kano. This Pasuk is describing, according to some, the beginning of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim were a family of Kohanim, and they, of course, were very instrumental in bringing about the Chanukah miracle. B'mei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvono. So the miracle of Chanukah came through his family. And this is what this pasuk tells us. The Amad Al Kano Nivzet. I'm sorry. I make so many mistakes. Pasuk Chafal was a later point in time. Pasuk Chaf was the foundation of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim. I'll just go back. Pasuk Chaf. The Amad Al Kano Imavir Noges Heder Malchus, and the splendor of Malchus will now be established on the foundation of the one who has removed the tyrant. The Noges here, it refers to the tyrant. The tyrant is Antiochus HaRasha, known as Antiochus IV. He will be removed. The one that has removed him, referring to the family of the Chashmonaim, will establish on his foundation a new dynasty, which is described in this Pasuk, Pasuk Chaf, as the Heder Malchus, the splendor of Malchus. And but the Pasuk predicts that this dynasty will not last forever. It will come to an end. It will only last for 103 years. The Gemara says that explicitly. Uvayomim achadim yishaver. We mentioned yesterday that it's interesting as the Pasuk would describe a few number of days as 103. Where else do we have this expression? Vayu be'enov kiyomim achadim be'ahavoso osa. Yaakov, he worked for Rachel for 7 years, and he considered to be yomim achadim, a few days, because of his love for Rachel. Here we have the same expression, uviyomim achadim yishaver. But yet here it's not 7 years. This is 103 years. So it's not clear. I mean, I guess it's relative what we call a short period of time. For some people, 10 days is a short period of time. For others, it's 103 years. It could also very well be that although the Gemara tells us that the Malchus of the Chashmonaim lasted 103 years, we know that only four generations is a long time, but after a short period of time, I think after 26 years, the Chashmonaim were no longer loyal to the teachings of the Torah. The Chashmonaim dynasty became corrupt very quickly. And in fact, the Ramban is a very well-known Ramban, and many Rishonim discuss this Ramban, and they challenge it, or they agree with it. The Ramban says that the Chashmonaim sinned. They committed a terrible sin by taking for themselves Malchus. As it says in the Pasuk, Lo yosa shevet mi Yehudu u'michoyek mi beit raglav. The only one that has permission to take authority in Klal Yisrael are descendants of the Shevet of Yehuda. And the Chashmonaim were descendants of Levi, not of Yehuda. They did not have the right permission to establish themselves as the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the Malchus in Klal Yisrael. So this is what the Ramban says. They committed a terrible sin, and because of this terrible sin, that's why they were punished, that none of their survivors, their descendants, remain. They were all wiped out, they were all killed, and we don't have any record today. That's not 100% true, but we don't have any full account for the survivors, the descendants of the Chashmonaim. It should be pointed out that many Rishonim disagree with the Ramban, and they say when the Pasuk says Lo yosa shevet mi Yehudu u'michoyek mi bein raglav does not mean that every single moment in Jewish history there must be a leader from the Shevet of Yehuda. It means that ultimately when Mashiach will come, it will return to the Shevet of Yehuda. But there's nothing wrong with other tribes taking leadership positions in Klal Yisrael throughout history, as long as everyone acknowledges that ultimately it will return to the Shevet of Yehuda. So it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't a sin, and it wasn't anything, there was nothing wrong, and the time was required that they did take up leadership positions, because they were the only ones that were capable of doing so, as they have demonstrated during the time of the Chashmonaim. So this is the topic of discussion. In fact, I was considering doing this last week. One of the days we were doing in the third section in different inyan that we the Minhagim. In fact, I prepared a little bit about the Chashmonaim, and I was considering discussing it in more detail, but we'll leave it with that. But here in Pasuk Chaf, it does make mention, this is a very critical Pasuk, make mention that the Malchus of the Hashem will be established, but it will not last for a long time, and it will disappear not through war, not through any external force, but through internal fighting. Not through anger, there will be an internal fight between two of the descendants of the Chashmonaim, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus. And they will call in the Romans to mediate, and the Romans will take the position, will take the sides with Hyrcanus, and they will make an alliance with Hyrcanus and make trouble for Aristobulus, who really was the one who had more power at that point in time, and that led to the Romans coming in and taking over, and so on and so forth, which we'll see a little bit later on. Now we come to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So now the Malchus of the Chashmonaim is coming to an end after 103 years due to the strife between the two brothers. V'omad Alkano Nivzeh. And now we'll enter a nation that is despised. Bozui Ata Me'od. Edom is a nation that is bozui, a lowly nation. They were barbarians. V'loy nasnu olav hod malchus. It will not be given to them the splendor of malchus. Much of what they had was taken from the Greeks. The Romans, the foundation of the Roman Republic and the Roman Empire, which came later, was built upon the foundation of the Greeks, and they had many innovations. You can't deny the fact that the Romans contributed greatly to the world in their unique way, but it was not unique. It was just taken from other countries, other civilizations, to put together some body of government. So they're called here an Am and Nivzeh, Alkanon Nivzeh, V'loy Nasnu Lov Hod Malchus, Uva V'Shalva. They will come into the picture through peace. They will not acquire domination through might, like their predecessors, like the Babylonians, like the Persians, like the nation of Modai. They will enter into the picture, into world dominance, through sweet talk. V'loy Va V'Shalva, the Hechazik Malchus, they will seize hold of Malchus, Ba Cha Lak Lakos, with sweet talk. This is an interesting word which you have here and there. You have this word, Lashon of Chalak, is to be smooth. I am an Ish Cholok. Yaakov said about himself, I am an Ish Cholok, I am a smooth, my brother is hairy. Yet the truth was, Esav was the one that was smooth. He was smooth with his tongue. Yodea Letzayid as Oviv, he knew Ish Tzayid, Ish Sodeh, he knew how to trap his father with words. This is the nature of Edom. Edom will discuss, Mir Tashem, we get to the next, the end of this parak, this very difficult parak, the Kitim. It's a question, are the Romans, were they really descendants, were they biological descendants of Esav? Yes or no, that is a big topic of discussion. But even if they were not necessarily biological descendants of Esav, they definitely accepted, they adopted the world, the outlook of Esav. Their hero, we always have in history, we always have different situations. You ask people who are their heroes, and they tell you, my hero is Babe Ruth. You'll come up with a person, and you take their ideology, their hashkafa, and that becomes your hashkafa. So whether the Romans that are now dominating, are taking over world domination, are conquering the Greeks, Whether they are biological descendants of Esav is a topic of discussion, but everyone agrees with that exception that they definitely studied the Torah, whatever this means, and they understood the outlook, the hashkafa of Esav HaRasha, and they adapted it, they absorbed it, and they became the modern day representative of Esav Yodel Tzayitz Aviv. He knew how to deceive his father with words, and he knew how to cause great harm to his brother Yaakov. Yaakov was very angry with him for stealing the Bechorah. Okay, so now this is what it says here in Pasuk of Aleph. Now before we go further, let me read you a Gemara in the Sechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara appears in Daf Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara is discussing the various holidays of non-Jews. The rule is you're not allowed to do business with a Goy, a non-Jew, on their holiday. Because if you do business with them, every joint venture, whatever for you, if you purchase something from a non-Jew, he is very pleased, he's very happy, he has profited, he has conducted business, and he will attribute his success, his good fortune, to his God. He will worship, bring an offering to his God, and he will. So there's nothing technically wrong. The Jew has not done anything to worship the idol, but it's if you have an option, a choice between doing business with a non-Jew on the day of their holiday and the day that's not their holiday, of course, the Mishnah is telling us you should not do business with them on the day of their holiday because it's going to be a springboard for them to thank their God with a Hislavos. They'll say Halal, and they'll say, look at this, the good fortune of my God. My God has brought about business for me. On this day, the Jew had to come and humble himself and purchase material from me. So we go through a long list of what are their holidays, and one of their holidays as mentioned over here in the Gemara is this thing called Kar Tosim. Kar Tosim is a holiday. It's the anniversary of the day that Rome came to power. When Rome rose to power. Now, if we study ancient Roman history, it's very complex. There's a lot of legends and virgins, Romulus and Remus? They were born by a immaculate conception, right? This is like by a she-wolf.
They were abandoned.
On the which river? On the river in Italy, that Tiber River. And then one killed the other. Right, there was a fight between the gods. One killed the other, and they established the city of Rome. This was about 700 BCE. Right, this is the ancient legends, whatever these things are. But that's not what we're talking about over here. We're talking over here much later point in time. We're talking over here about and then all of them and Medrash. Okay, so we're talking over here. We're jumping ahead about at least 500 years after Rome was founded, in the year, I guess, I assume this is approximately 150 BCE, 150 years before the Common Era, and there is a holiday called Kar Tosim.
What kind of word is that?
It's a Greek word. Tosfos, in fact, discusses it. Tosfos says Kar Tosim is B'loshon Yavon, Hu Tefois Tefisa Shtayim. Korat l'shein tefisa. It's a Greek word. Now this is according to Tosfos. Tosfos does this many times. It's not necessarily an accurate Chazal. Many times take words and they make new trick and they make. Do we have another? He has another over here. Yeah.
To rule.
Okay. Okay, Democrat. Okay. Very good. So I'll read you what it says here in Tosfos. Tosfos says that Kar Tosim Omer Harabenu Rev Shemaya Tefois Tefisa Shtayim. It means a second holding. It was the second time Rome took authority, as we'll see from the Gemara. I don't know the history well at all, so I can't tell you from the second point of view. I just know very little what it says here in the Gemara, that Rome dominated twice. They conquered the world once, but it appears they were not 100% successful, and they came back a second time. This holiday is the second conquest of Rome, according to the Gemara. And that's why this holiday is called Kartisim, Lashon Korat Sim. A conquest that is second. The second conquest of the Romans. One more time, the words of Taisvis. Omer Harav Rabbeinu Shemaya B'loshon Yavon Hu Tefos Tefisas Shtayim Korat L'shoin Tefisa. The word Korat means to seize hold, to seize power, to dominate. This Sim, and the word Sim, I'm reading of a Taisvis that you don't have it in front of you. You have to listen. It's not in front of you. And the word V'Sim, okay, the sim l'shoin shtayim uperish derotzo loymar tefisa shnia. This was their second conquest. V'nicha ha dekarmina l'kamon kar tesim v'yoyim shetafsu romei malchus. Because the Gemara later on says there are two holidays. There is a holiday called kar tesim, and there is another holiday, the anniversary Independence Day. Another holiday called the day shetafsu romei malchus, the day when Rome seized malchus. What's the difference? If kar tesim is the day when Rome became a country, why is there another holiday of when Rome became a power? The answer is, it's the second conquest. The first conquest was weak. It appears that it did not last, or was limited in scope. V'yochi perusha kartesim tfisa shnia, and v'yoyim shetavsa malchus barishayna, and the first time they dominated. Okay, so that's this holiday. Now, what exactly is this holiday? So it's a fascinating Gemara. So let's read the Gemara. My kartesim, what exactly is the nature of this day, kartesim, the second time Rome conquered the world? Amar Yehuda, it's not in the pasuk. I'm reading you a Gemara. I'm going to read it very slowly so you can listen. You do not have this in front of you. It's very simple. You don't have to have the text in front of you. You can just listen. My kartesim, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Yoim shetavsa boi roimi malchus. V'yotanya. The Gemara is a question, but did we not learn kartesim v'yoyim shetofsa boi roimi malchus? How can you say that kartesim is the day when Rome became established malchus, when we see clearly that there's another holiday for yoyim shetofsa boi roimi malchus? The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yosef, shtei tfisos tofsa roimi. Rome dominated twice. Achas bimei kilap Tara, which we translate in English as Cleopatra. Okay, Cleopatra was one of the queens in Egypt. That's from the Ptolemy dynasty. That's during the time of the Yavonim. During the Egyptian Greeks, there was a woman, there were few of them, if I'm not mistaken, Cleopatra. Achas bimei kilap. Kilaptera, Cleopatra, Malchus of the Queen. The Achas, the second time, was Shetavsa Bimei Yevonim, and the second time was during the time of the Yevonim. So it appears that Cleopatra, according to the Gemara, was an earlier period of time. That was the first time. That was an earlier point. And now we have the time when Rome dominated the time of the Yevonim. Now here the Gemara tells us a fascinating story. When Rav Dimi came, he said the following: Tolosin utrain korve avdu romoi bahade yivono noe. The Romans battled the Greeks 32 times. There were 32 major battles between the Greeks and the Romans. We have to remember, the Romans were dominant. For 180 years, the Greeks controlled the world. But at the same point in time, there was a little nation called Rome. Italia Shalyava. Italia Shalyava. But Rome was already on the ascendancy. And Rome, we find in all the history, even if you look in all the Mepharshim, that there's always, as Yavon matured, as the years passed, Yavon was always worried about Rome. They consulted with Rome. They did not go to battle in this country because they were afraid of Rome. They went here, not there. It was always in the back of their minds, if we do this, how will Rome react? But it's still, for 180 years, the one that dominated was Greece, Yavon, not Rome. It came a point in time when Rome got stronger and stronger. Rome wanted to take for themselves power, Malchus, and they went to war We don't know exactly what these wars are. Probably in the secular history there are some records. I don't know if you'll find there are 32 wars, but you'll definitely find many battles where the Romans went to war against the Greeks. 32 battles. The lo yachlu luhu, and they failed. Every one of the battles resulted in defeat. The Greeks always won 32 times. Ad, they came up with a brilliant plan. What was the brilliant plan? They would partner with the Jews. And we're going to see that over here in our Pesukim. The Romans said, the way we will succeed, we will have an alliance with Klal Yisrael, with the Jewish people. And the Jewish people at this point in time were not autonomous. They were under the control of the Greeks. But yet, somehow they formed an alliance. They joined, they became partners with the Jewish people, and Vahochi Asnu Bahadayu, and they made the following stipulation with the Jewish people. We and you share a common enemy, the Greeks. We want to free ourselves from the Greeks, and you also want to free yourselves from the influence of the Greeks. So you know what? Let's join forces, and let's go to battle, let's go to war, and we will dominate. And when we conquer the Greeks, we will control the world, and we'll split authority. For a period of time, the kings will come from our nation, from Rome, and the Klal Yisrael will provide for the world the governors. And then after a period of time, we'll alternate, we'll switch. You will provide the kings, and we will provide the governors. Exactly the same pattern that was supposed to have been practiced by the Persians and Madai. Paras and Madai. It never really worked out. Madai was the melech, and the Paras were the governors. And then once the authorities went to the Persians, they became the kings, and Madai became the governors. They never gave it back. Once you have power, it's impossible to relinquish. We see that in modern times. Once you have power, it's impossible to relinquish power. I remember watching the inauguration of one of the presidents. Maybe it was Bush, maybe it was Obama. And the commentator on the news, how he said, "You've just seen something. You've just..." And he took his oath, and the president, the new president, whether it was Obama or Bush, whatever it was, said, "You've just seen peaceful transfer of power." And what he said, what this commentator said, it is truly an amazing, amazing statement. That in world history, how many times since creation have there been times where power has been transferred from one leader to another leader in a peaceful way? And here you have the two presidents. You can't say that the President of the United States doesn't have enormous power, perhaps more power than any world leader in the world today. And one leader steps down, and a new leader takes his place, and it's peaceful. There's no war. Okay, the campaigning is a little dirty, we all know. But bottom line is, the new president takes the oath, and they shake hands, and the power has been transferred from one leader to another. And it's truly, it's a moiface. It's truly an incredible thing. If Chazal were here, maybe they would make a bracha to see such an event, the peaceful transfer of power from one leader to another leader. Okay, it's through democracy. Okay, we know all the whole story. But nevertheless, after everything is said and done, it is something to behold and to appreciate that we are very fortunate. We live in times that more or less there's more peace. I mean, Baruch Hashem, it's peaceful overall. But the point over here is they made this condition among themselves that we will fight our common enemy, the Greeks, and we will share power. We will provide kings, you will provide governors. Then we'll alternate. You will provide the kings and we will provide the governors. That was the stipulation. If from us come the kings, then haparche. Haparche is a very nice word that refers to a governor or some type of secondary king. If from you will come the kings, then minon, from us, haparche, will come the second in command. Now, after this alliance was formed, the Romans sent a representative, sent their ambassador to the Greeks. Now this is Gemara, it's very hard to understand what this means, and then it's very hard to match this event in secular records and history. But the Romans sent Liavone to the Greeks the following message. Adhuidna, until now, Avidna Bik Rava. We have engaged in wars, blood, death, pain, suffering, starvation, sieges, so on and so forth. Hashta navid bedine. Let's now fight, have a debate. We'll have a debate. And whoever will win the debate will peacefully take over control over the world. The other nation will relinquish their natural resources, will relinquish their wealth, will relinquish control over their country. We'll have a debate, and whoever wins, wins. Okay? So the Yevanim, which we all know from Hanukkah, what did the Yevanim excel in? Chochmas Yevanis. Greek philosophy. The Yevanim represented the best of Chochma. Plato. We're dealing with the spitz of Chochma. Okay. So they agreed. They agreed to the debate. They thought for sure that they would win. But look what happened. So here comes the argument in the debate. This was the winning argument. Let's have a debate. There's no pasuk. I'm reading from the Gemara. Margolis v'Aventova. Here's the question. Let's say you have in front of you two different stones. One stone is a margolis, a pearl, and the other is an Aventova. The Aventova is more expensive. It doesn't tell us what kind of stone this is. Let's say the margolis, the pearl, is worth $1,000, and the Aventova is worth $10,000. And you want to use one as the setting for the other. Right, you have a ring. On the ring there's a setting, and in the setting you put in the gem. And you have two. One will be the gem, the stone, and one will be the setting. You have in front of you two different stones. You have a margolis and an eventova. Which one should be the setting for the other? Margolis the eventova, ezo mehen yase bosis l'chaveiro. Which one should be the setting for the other? Which one of the two is more chashev? Sholchuluhu. So the Persian, the Yevanim, the Greek said, margolis le'eventova. The pearl is not as choshev as the eventova. The pearl is only worth $1,000. The eventova is worth $10,000. So of course, the pearl will be the setting for the eventova. Okay, next question. Now we have the eventova, and we have the enoch. Enoch is a very rare, precious gem. In fact, this is the stone of Yehuda. On the Choshen, each one of the Shvatim has a different stone. And I'm sure there's much Jewish and why Gemara picked exactly this stone. But the enoch is this, it's the Shoheh. The Shoheh, Shoham? Yeah, the Shoham, correct. Okay, I didn't see the little fudge here in my Gemara. The Shoham on the side of the Gemara. The Shoham stone. That's the stone of Yehuda, which represents Malchus and Klal Yisrael. I'm sure there is some significance to that, but we're not going to focus on that right now. You have these two stones, and let's make an assumption now that this stone, the Enoch, the Shoham, is worth $100,000. So which one should be the setting for the other? So the answer was, of course, the Eventova shall be the one that's worth 10,000 will be the setting for the Shoham, which is worth 100,000. Le'inach. Okay, next question. Enoch v'sefer Torah. We have the Enoch, now this is fascinating, and we have the Torah. The Sefer Torah. The Jewish people have a Sefer Torah. They have the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You, the Yevanim, recognize that in the Torah is the ultimate Chochmah. The only problem with the Yevanim is they wanted to remove the Kedusha from the Torah. The Yevanim did not want to destroy the Jewish people, because the only ones who knew how to have a good yeshiva, how to produce scholarship, were the Jewish people. And the Yevanim, they enjoyed good scholarship. This is what it was all about. It's just they had a problem. We don't want to practice what it says in the Torah. It all should be theoretical. It should not be something which has kedusha, with sanctity. But you recognize that there's something called the Sefer Torah, and Chochmah is priceless. The Sefer Torah, the Shoram stone may be worth $100,000, but it's the Chochmah that lies in the Sefer Torah, priceless. So which one should be the setting for the other? Ezo mehem yase bas tislachavero. Enoch, so what did they say? Enoch le Sefer Torah, of course, the Enoch, the Shoham stone, that is worth $100,000, should be a setting for the Sefer Torah that's priceless. Oh, that was the argument. Now the Romans make the following statement. They said, Shol chuluhu. The Romans sent a message to the Greeks in Cain. Anan, us the Romans, we have formed an alliance with the Jewish people. Sefer Torah Gabon, the Yisrael Bahadon. The Jewish people, who are the authority of the Sefer Torah, are together with us. We have created a treaty, a bris. This bris appears all over Tanakh. Look at me, we had this already in Daniel a few times. I just glossed over it because I didn't really understand what it means. And I still don't, but now I have a little bit of an appreciation, a little bit more, learning this Gemara. Maybe we study history. There are always treaties, they're fighting, they're, it's not really clear what this treaty is. But there was a bris. There was a bond between the Romans and the Jews, this alliance. We're going to conquer our common enemy. We're going to split. We're going to alternate power between us. So the Romans said, look who is with us. Who we have an alliance, a bris, a treaty, a covenant with the Jewish people. The Sefer Torah is with us. Therefore, you who pride yourself in being the world power, you're only at most the Shoham stone. And you yourself admitted that the Shoham has to be a setting, a basis, a foundation for the ultimate for the Sefer Torah. And with this argument, they won. Kofu luhu esrin vish. So they won. The Romans won the debate with this argument. Believe it or not, no blood. That's what it says in the Gemara. How this is interpreted from a secular point of view, that requires a lot of skill and a lot of understanding. But this debate was won by the Romans, and authority was now transferred to the Romans. At this moment in time began the Roman domination of the world. This was before the Roman Empire. This, I assume, was during the Roman Republic. Before the Roman Empire, before all the wars, Julius Caesar and other generals, and whole cast of characters, there was a republic. And at that point in time,
localized.
At that point in time, it appears we have over here the Greeks relinquished control. No more wars. The 32 wars were over. We peacefully transfer authority to the Romans. So the Romans are in control. But the Romans made an agreement with the Jewish people that when we're in control, we're gonna be good to you. We are going to share power with you. And they were true to their commitment for 26 years. That's it. They planned forever. We'll be loyal to you forever. Here we are, how many years now? More than 2,000 years since this happened. Okay, it's more than 2,000 years. They only kept their part of the deal. We allowed them in to win this argument. So we should share power with them forever, right? We should share power. And how long did they keep their part of the bargain? For 26 years. After 26 years, the Romans reneged. They ignored. They're liars. They reneged on their words. Kofuluhu estrin vishis. Kofulu, comma, kofuluhu. It says here these two powerful words. The Romans dominated the Greeks with this argument. So what happened next? Esrin v'shishnin, for 26 years, kamuluhu behem nusaihu, they kept their word, they were faithful to their word, b'hadei Yisrael. Mikan ve'eloch, after 26 years, they said, no more, we don't care, we're not going to keep our part of the bargain, we don't care, we're in control, and you, the Jewish people, you're just, you're nothing. Not only are you nothing, we'll destroy you. We're not going to be like the Greeks that wanted to preserve you in a museum. We don't even want to preserve you in a museum. We want to wipe you out. Zero. Nothing. I mean, Hitler didn't want to have a museum. He didn't want to have a museum, but no living survivors. Only in the museum, there are just pictures. The Romans, that's really what the Romans were. The Yavanim wanted living examples of Jews. They wanted the Jews to perform and to display their chachma, but not from a religious point of view. But in any event, they were faithful to Mikan the Eloch. Afterwards, Ishtabdu Buhu, they enslaved, they subjugated the Jewish people. And the Gemara tells us this really is hinted to Maisa Avos Simin Laban, and it's hinted to in the meeting of Yaakov and Esav. So here the Gemara clearly is telling us that Rome here is the heir to Esav, whether it's biological or not. That's a side issue, but it's clearly what the Gemara says. May kara my darish, ulu b'soif my darish. Why originally were they faithful to their word, and what caused them to change their mind? May kara darish nisa v'neilecha. 2 weeks ago, we learned in Parsha, and Yaakov meets Esav. They meet. He bows down. They kiss. They hug. And then he gives them presents, and Yaakov says, "No, let's travel together. Let me go. Let me walk. Nisa v'neilecha v'elcha l'negdecha. You're going back home to Yitzchak. Let me accompany you. I will travel myself with my men together with you. We will walk together to Canaan to come to Yaakov Avinu. Nisa, let's travel. V'neilecha, let us go. V'elcha, I, Esav, will walk l'negdecha, opposite you, together with you." But what happened? Yaakov said, "Please, my brother Esav, my children are young, the tzon, the delicate. I have to go slowly. Let me, you go ahead. Don't worry. I'll see you later. You go quickly. You go quickly." Let the master go before the servant, meaning you, Esav, go weiter. And that's exactly what happened. First, Esav said, "L'negdecha." We'll go. We'll share power, and then Esav says, "We'll go in front. You will go behind. We'll step on you. We'll destroy you. We'll conquer you." Okay. So this is Esrin v'shishnin the kamu b'hadayu. Then the Gemara goes on to say, to bring. Let's go further in the Gemara. It's a very, Esrin is for 26 years. The kamu b'hem nusai b'hadayu shomenol. How do we know that for 26 years they were faithful? The Amar v'kahano keshachol Rabbi Yishmol bar Yosi v'shalchu luhu Rabbi. So here comes a very important piece of Gemara, which sheds a lot of light on what we're about to learn now, for and especially very much related to Hanukkah. Okay, so even when I go below time, this is going to be a very important thing. This is very critical to understand Hanukkah. Very critical. Meyo, he says the following memra. This memra doesn't make sense. I'm reading from the Gemara. This Gemara does not make sense according to everything that we know. What, and let's see why. He said the following memra in the name of his father, Meya Ushmoinim Shana, 180 years, Koidem Shenechrav Habayis, before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchus Harishah Al Yisrael. Rome extended their hand, had influence over the Jewish people. Okay, then he goes on, the Gemara goes on to say a whole number, a whole long list of things. Peishan ad lecharav, habayis, gazru tumal eretz ha'amim, dal klei zechuchis, memshan. He goes on different things which are not important for what we need right now. What we need right now is this line, the first line, that for 180 years, Rome had influence over the Jewish people before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, that's very problematic. Because, let me read you another Gemara on the bottom of this page, Daf Ches Amid Beis, going in Daf Tes, a very famous Gemara, very fundamental. Let's see, if you learn anything, you have to know this Gemara, just a few words. What, I'm learning the Gemara in Daf Avodah Zarah Daf Ches Amid Beis. Meyo, I'm jumping down to the last line of the page. Meyo Ushmoine Vesulo. The Gemara questions this. The Gemara says over here that you just told me that Rome had influence over the Jewish people for 180 years. We mentioned this in passing, as I just quoted to you. Vesulo. Only 180 years. V'yotani Rav Yosei Berebi Malchus Paras. Let's describe, let's calculate the 420 years of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Rishon we know lasted for 410 years. Godol Yaakov Bayis Ha'acharon Yosei Min HaRishon. The Bayis Sheni was 420 years. So it says now, when was the Bayis Sheni built? During the Malchus of Paras. During the time, permission was granted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash during the time of Daryavesh ben Esther, after the death of Achashverosh from the Megillah. Permission was originally granted before Achashverosh, the time of Koresh. We learned this. Many took Koresh, and then there was a whole question, was there another person in between Koresh and Achashverosh? We learned that Rashi. But in any event, it happened, the building of the Beis Bayis Sheni took place during the era of the Persians. After the Beis HaMikdash was built, for how many more years did the Persians continue to exist? 34. Malchus Paras Refnei Abayis, Shloshim, explicit in the Gemara, Shloshim V'arba, 34, Shana. Then came who? Along came Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great came and conquered Daryavesh ben Achashverosh HaParsi. He wanted to make peace. He didn't want peace. He wanted to conquer. How long did the dynasty of the Yevanim last? So we've learned so many times, 180 years. Malchus Yom Efnei Abayis, Meyo Ushmoinim Shana. How many years are left? 180 plus 34. We're up to 214. So how many years are left until the Bayis Sheni will be Charaf? 206 years. Malchus Chashmonoi, then after the Persians came to an end, entered the Chashmonoim, Bifnei Abayis Meya Ushalosh, and then came along at the end of the Malchus of the Chashmonoim, when there was the dispute between Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, the Romans came in, and through a whole long process of a whole long sequence of events, it's very complicated, Hordis was really a descendant of Gairim. He became the puppet king of the Romans. The Roman, what?
There was another one in between. That was Alexander Yanai.
But he, Alexander, okay. But there's a whole sequence of events, but we have over here basically when Rome became fully in control and they used Hordis as their puppet to control what was taking place in Eretz Yisrael. That lasted for the last 103 years. Shalosh, Malchus Beis Hordis, Meyav Shalosh, Mikan Ve'elich. Afterwards, say the Chashev Kama Shonim Achar Churban Habayis. So now, Alma, here's the part that we need for our Gemara, for our pasuk here, and coming back to Neil in a moment. Alma, Moson Vishis Havu. It was 206 years. The Gemara here is making a very important statement. The Gemara is making it very clear that the Chashmonoim was not 100% autonomous. Many of us are under the assumption that in between the Yevanim and the Romans, which was through a Jewish king, we have a whole series of Jewish kings, the last 103 years, starting with Hordis, maybe a little bit before that, going down until Agrippus, the last of the Jewish kings in the Bayis Sheni was Agrippus. So that was the Roman period. Because they were nothing. They had no power. They were just 100% under the control of the Romans. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, even the Malchus of the Chashmonoim, the 103 years of Yochanan Kohen Gadol Lubanov Chashmonoi, all of his children, the first four were very good. Then there was Yanai HaMelech, he became already at Stuki. We already had problems after four kings. After four kings, there were problems. Even though it appears from the history books that the Jewish people had autonomy, they were in control, it's not true. Even those 103 years were under the influence of the Romans. The Romans still called the shots. Not to the same degree they called the shots the last 103 years, but they called the shots as well in a in a more veiled way for the first 103 years of the Chashmonaim. So therefore, the Ato Marto and Meu Shmoinim Havu. What's going on here? You're telling me in the name of your father, Rabbi Yossi, who's Rabbi Yossi, if I'm not mistaken, that the time of the domination of the Romans was 180 years before the Churban Bayis. That's not so. It was 103 times 2. It was 206 years. Now, by the way, what's the difference between 206 and 180? 26. Oh, that's the key. That's the magic number here. Ella, so what's the pshat? There's a 26th year difference. What's going on here? That's something that doesn't make any sense. Ella, Esrin Vishish Shinin, for 26 years, even though the dynasty of the Chashmonaim began, and we look at the Chashmonaim as under the influence of the Romans, but for the first 26 years was Nissa v'Nelcha l'Negdecha. The first 26 years of these 206 years, the Romans were faithful. They were faithful to their word. They promised, we will share the Malchus. If we will provide the kings, you will provide the governors. If you will provide the kings, we'll provide the governors. For the first 26 years, it was not considered that Rome had any influence. They were Ella Estrin Vishishin for 26 years. Kamu Behem Nusayu. They were faithful to their word. Bahade Yisrael. Veloy Ishtabdu Buhu. They did not subjugate the Jewish people. After 26 years, they abolished, they broke their word. The Amtu Lahachi, and that's why, Loika Choshev Luhu, and that's why it was not considered in part of the calculation of the years that Rome dominated. Rome only really dominated for 180 years. We don't count the first 26 years of the dynasty of the Chashmonaim, because the Romans were faithful to their word, because the only reason why Rome was able to gain power was because they had a debate with the Yevanim, and part of the debate was that we have with us the Sefer Torah, and therefore you acknowledge that the Sefer Torah is more chashuv than the Shoham, and therefore the Shoham stone has to be ascending. We are the most chashuv, we have with us the Jewish people, and therefore we dominate. And they kept their word. The only reason why they were able to win the day was because of their alliance, and they were faithful to the Jewish people for allowing them to make this alliance, and for 26 years they dominated. Okay, so now, that is the Gemara. Now, how does all of this come into the Pasuk, and how does all of this come into Chanukah? So, first of all, Michal, we can add this to you. So you have this in your Sefer, there's a Marsha, you have this Marsha and this Gemara, then you have to look at the Marsha and this Gemara. And the Marsha and this Gemara says, look at this. We have here four different items. We have the Margolis, and we have the Evan Toiva, and we have the Enoch, which is the Shoam, and then the Sefer Torah, which is what together with the Romans, the Marsha says, this corresponds to the Dalid Malchios. The Margolis is Bavel. The Evan Toiva is Parasumodai. And then who are the Yevanim? Is the Enoch, the Shoam. And now the Romans say, here we are, we're the Romans. And who's with us? The Sefer Torah is with us. So therefore, who dominates? Who will now take over control of the world? We, the Romans, because we, that's why they're giving these three different examples, because these are the three nations which dominated the world in the past history. And that's why we're going to dominate the world. This was the debate of the Roman, that's why there are, according to the Marsha, there are four different items. The Margolis, Bavel, the Evan Toiva is Parasumodai, the Enoch is Yavan, and now comes Rome. Rome does not give themselves an object. They just claim, we are together with the Sefer Torah, and therefore we are going to dominate, and you have to acknowledge we are the most chashuv, and you have to step down and allow us to take over the reins of leadership of world dominance, which the Greeks did. And this is hard to understand what this means, but that's what it says. They acknowledged the greatness of the Sefer Torah, and they did. And for 26 years, they were faithful to their word. This is what the Pasuk...
What? They have the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're together with the Sefer Torah.
the Goyim,
the Christian Bible.
That is how Rashi. We learn the Rashi a little bit later on. We get to the next pasuk, but this is real. This is how Rashi learns these sequence of sukkim that we're about to learn now. We go back to pasuk chof aleph. Let's now take what we've said and read this into the pasuk. The Amad al Kana Nivzeh. Now at this point in time, at the end of the Chashmonaim, the Romans were desperate to take control of the world. The Romans fought 32 battles against the Greeks and lost. And now in desperation, they said, no more blood. We'll have a debate. I remember as a child, I once saw a program where there was such a thing where the nations of the world, they had like a computer game. they fought a game on a war on the computer, and whoever lost will basically commit suicide. Why should we go to war and fight a real war? We can fight a war theoretically. You have these tanks, and we have these planes, and we'll fight the war online. We'll have a virtual war based upon our resource, our technology, and we'll figure out who will win the war, and whoever wins the war is the winner. Why do we have to practice the war in real? Let's have a simulation, right? Why not? No bloodshed, no bad feelings, and whoever wins is the winner. We'll dominate the world. It was only so simple. But that's what it says. This is what it says here in Pasuk of Aleph. Avnal Kana Nivzeh, a lowly nation. V'loy nosnu lov hoid malchus. They don't have any splendor of malchus. They have nothing unique. Rome, this is a theme which Rashi brings out in a number of places in Shas. Rome is a nation, we said this, they don't have, there's nothing, they have contributions, but the foundation of Rome all comes from other nations. Their language and their culture, Ruba de Ruba, was taken from the Greeks, was taken from other nations, and they improved upon it. But it's not unique. It's not, the foundation is not, there's a lot of plagiarism in the nation of Rome. They will come in peace. No more are there going to be wars. We're going to have a computer simulation. We're going to argue, we're going to have a debate. The Hechzik Malchus, and they will win. They will win, they will prevail. How? This is the Gemara. Be Cha Lak Lakos, through smooth talk, by telling, let's have the debate, and look who's with us. The Sefer Torah is with us, and therefore we win. Now let's go to Pasuk Beis. Uzuraos HaShetef. Now this is a hard two words to translate. The word Zeros means might. It means an arm. Shetef means a flood. And the two words together mean extreme might.
Overwhelming
force. Excellent. Overwhelming force. Over Uzuro Shetef, the overwhelming force of who? The Greeks. Until this point in time, the Greeks were the overwhelming force of the world. Now, Yeshotfu Milafanov will be washed away. By whom? By the Romans. The Romans, that's a play on the words. Yeshotfu Milafanov Vishaveru will be broken, will be swept away by the Romans and will be shattered. Vigam Nigidbris, and also Melech Vigam, who else will be swept away? The one that will be swept away will also be the Melech Rashi. Let's look at Rashi right away. Let's look at Rashi. The Gam Nigid Bris, Gam Melech Yisrael, Sheyichrois Imam Bris. Okay, referring to this Gemara. The only way that the Romans came to power was because they made a bris. They made a treaty with the Jewish people, we'll have an alliance, we'll share power. And with that bris, they were able to win the debate with the Greeks. And now this few words indicates they will break. They will break their word. The Gam Yisrael Shichos Imam Bris Gam Hu Soifa Shiitote Shei Shotef Milufanov Ki Yavar Al Habris. They will violate the treaty. The Yifshitu Alehem, and they will overtake them. They will sweep them away. Kumash Amur Azal Estrin. Look at the Rashi. This is what we just quoted. This is the one that we quoted. Estrin Vishishnin for 26 years. Kamu Behem Nusayu Bahade Yisrael for Hodar. they broke their word. Ishtabdu b'hoin, they broke their word. So here we have here these two psukim is the establishment of the Roman rulership empire. Well, the Roman Empire came a little bit later, not exactly at this point in time, but the Republic, and it was on the way up. There were a lot of things that happened in ancient Rome to get to the way they are today. But they will come forward and they will go in peace to this sweet talking debate. They will sweep away the Greeks, but they will then the Gid, the prince of the treaty, referring to the Jewish king, whoever will be in power at that point in time, the Jewish king, will be Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, those two, the two people that were there at that point in time. They will be deceived by the general and the leadership of Rome. And Rome will then attempt to subjugate the Jewish people to begin the Golus of Edom that we are in today, those 180 years. All here in the Psukim, hidden in the Psukim, at least according to Rashi's understanding of these Psukim. I warn you, we only learned one interpretation of the Psukim. If you go look in the Abaminal, the Malbum, and Sadduk, and Afsadigon, and a whole long list, it's a very, very hard way to understand. Some will tell you this refers to modern time. I'm sure you'll find someone who has a creative mind, and it's not necessarily, you can take this and you can turn this into what's happening today. It's all a matter of interpretation and ayin panim l'Torah. But this is the Aleph Beis, the basics of Rashi. Rashi typically is always basing his interpretation on the Talmud and on Midrashim, things that we have right in front of us, which are very obvious, even though many times Rashi's interpretation doesn't always fit in like a glove into what it says in the Pasuk, but that's here how Rashi interprets words, and the Mitzudos Kamat says the same thing, pretty much says the same thing. Okay, we're not going to... Yishmael's later. We're not Yishmael yet. Yishmael is much later. What do you mean?
You said the Abar Ben Ela, where he puts the fourth
mouth.
The Ibn Ezra puts that. So that's come. So you have to go with all of Sukkim differently from the very beginning. Everything has to be reassessed, recalibrated to get everyone in the right place and to figure out which event refers to. Oh, there are many interpretations. There are many interpretations, many forms and variations of interpretation. Now, just one other very small point, which is very much relevant to Hanukkah. This is a fascinating thing. At this point in time, look what's happening. This is an amazing thing. But when did this happen? This happened, this bris, this transfer of power between Rome. When did Rome come to power? Rome came to power at the time of the Hanukkah miracle. When did the Hanukkah miracle happen? The Hanukkah miracle happened at the end of the 180 years of the Greeks. That was the end. The miracle of the Hanukkah oil and the battles, that was the end of 180 years. Hanukkah, here we are. So when you ask the average person, what's Hanukkah? Oh, Hanukkah was the end of the domination of the Greeks, the beginning of that glorious time in history of the Hashmonaim, which lasted for 103 years. The end wasn't so pretty. There was a lot of apikorsis, the tzedukim and the baitosin, and so on and so forth. But at least for the first couple of years, it was pretty nice. Right? Yochanan Kohen Gadol was very pleasant for the first period of time. The Hashmonaim dynasty. Now, you learn this pasuk, you learn this gemara, it's not exactly what happened. The beginning of the Hashmonaim was the beginning of Rome. The beginning of the Hashmonaim was when Rome came and took over power. How did they come to power? Incredible what it says here. They came to power, whatever they tried to do, they failed. 32 battles, they lost. A lot of blood. How did they come to power? They made an alliance with the Jewish people. The Nisa V'Nelcha L'Negdecha. And with that, they were able to debate the Yevanim. And the Yevanim acknowledged that there's nothing more chashuv in the world than the Sefer Torah. And who presented this argument? The Romans presented this argument. And the Yevanim acknowledged this argument. And Klal Yisrael rejoiced over this acknowledgement through the miracle of Hanukkah. The menorah represents Torah. The menorah is the aura of Torah. So what's the miracle of Hanukkah? The miracle of Hanukkah is not just that Klal Yisrael conquered the Yevanim. Klal Yisrael, a miracle, the oil lasted for 8 days. The miracle of Hanukkah was the entire world recognized times of Mashiach. The entire world came to recognize there's nothing more chashuv than a Sefer Torah. Margolis, Evan Tova, the Shoham, and on top of that is the Sefer Torah. And the Romans, we have the Sefer Torah. So therefore, and we have an alliance, we win. You're right, you win. We acknowledge the Sefer Torah is Chashev. The Romans also, obviously, because they made the argument. And Claudius Yisrael, they prevailed at this point in time. And the Romans shared power. Nissa v'nelcha v'negda l'negdecha. Let's live a life of peace together with Claudius Yisrael. And that's what it says in the Al Hanisim, L'chos Sisa. What do we say in the Al Hanisim? Shame Godol the Kadosh be'olamecha, in your world. So let me get a sitter, and I don't want to say it. Can I just borrow that sitter over there? Top, very good. What do we say in the Al Hanisim? You've done a Tshua Gedola, Furka Yamazeh. So give me 1 second. Here we have. The Kavu Shmonis Man, the Hodel Halashim, so where is in the, I'm getting mixed up, in the Haneris Halalu? Ulochos is, no, here it is, okay, it's in the Halanism. Masarta Gibor Biat Halashim, Rabin Biat Matim, Utmen Biat Haredim, Usham Biat Halikim, Vizet Velasis Hosecha, Ulochos Sisa Shame Godol Vikodosh Beoilomecha. What's this all about? Beoilomecha? The whole world? What kind of the whole world? There were a couple of local battles. Eretz Yisrael. You have a city here, Modiim and Yerushalayim. These are little relative to the whole world. These are little minor battles. Very great miracles. No one's denying the fact that a few thousand soldiers or a few small number of soldiers of Matisyo and his children, they were able to overcome the Syrian Greeks. Shame Godol v'kodosh v'olamecha? No, you have to study world history. At this point in time, there were major battles taking place between Rome, ancient Rome, and ancient Greek. And Rome always lost all the games. They lost. It was a sweep. What's it called? A sweep. 32 battles lost. And all of a sudden, through acknowledging that there's nothing more harsher than the Sefer Torah, everything changed. This is exactly what happened. This is the moment of these 26 years. That's really what the miracle of Chanukah is all about. Right smack in the middle of Al-Nisim. Shame, Godol, the Kodosh, Be'olamecha, the entire world. Rome and Greece, the two world powers, the transfer of power through the recognition. There's nothing more chash than the Sefer Torah. Okay, so this is the two psukim today, but I think there's a lot of important things here in Chanukah and in understanding these psukim.